welcome once again to A Conversation That Matters. I'm Dr. John Roebuck, your host. I'm the Executive Director of the Charlie Kirk Center for Faith Leadership here on the campus of Belmont University. Today I want to continue in a series of devotional thoughts that I have been sharing from the Book of Psalms. Today I turn to one of the most familiar and popular psalms of them all, Psalm 8. The words will be very familiar to you. I want to read them this morning in a newer translation, the New Living Translation, and then I want to go back and show a couple of differences between that translation and the New American Standard Translation, which is a closer, actual, literal, word-for-word translation from the ancient Hebrew. But I want to just point out a couple of differences which really relate to a couple of different ways of interpreting these psalms. So anyway, here is Psalm 8, a psalm of David from the New Living Translation. David writes, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic your name is, and how it fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies, all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them? Yet you have made them only a little lower than God, and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, everything that swims in the ocean currents. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. The only real difference between the New Living Translation and the New American Standard really comes sort of halfway through when you get to verses 4 and 5. The New American Standard says, What is man that thou dost take thought of him, and the son of man that thou dost care for him? Yet thou hast made him a little lower than God, and dost crown him with glory and majesty. Well, first, let me say that Psalm 8 is one of the more familiar psalms. It is cited 4 times in the New Testament, usually in reference to the work of the Messiah. And if you were to look at it in the Scriptures, you would see that there is a little heading above the psalm that says it is to be sung while accompanied by a gittith. A gittith is some type of stringed instrument used in worship, maybe much like an ancient guitar. But again, there are 2 ways to interpret and use this psalm. One way is to read the psalm as a nod to the coming Messiah who would be crowned with majesty and glory. That phrase used in the New American Standard that says the Son of Man, well, certainly that is a reference to a royal designation. It is the reference to himself that Christ used. Thus, the psalm could be translated to describe the majesty of the coming Savior in whom God has placed all authority. The other way to interpret the psalm is to think more universally in terms of God's desire to have created humankind as the crowning glory of his creation. And that's much the way the New Living Translation sort of leans. The Greek Septuagint, which is an ancient Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, translates verse 5 as, You have made him to lack little of God. In other words, the psalmist is saying that humans were created to reflect the majesty of God. They are given dominion over the earth and over the creatures of the earth. The majestic God is somehow reflected in the people whom he has made. Again, to use that verbiage, we are made to lack little of God. Well, to be honest, there are not many days when I feel like a, quote, majestic creation of God, end quote. I understand that human beings are the supreme expression of God's creative action. I understand that God has given us limited dominion over all the earth. I understand that nothing is more important to God than the people he has made. But I also understand that we are flawed and fragile and certainly feeble in our attempts to reflect the majesty of our Creator. We are perhaps a perversion of the majesty that God intended. We rage with jealousy. We lash out in anger. We lust. We rob. We hold grudges. We trust in ourselves and not in our God. When people view our lives, they are prone to say, look at how bad human beings have become, rather than saying, look how great God must be to create such wonderful beings. But there is a very important redemptive word to offer today. God has never been satisfied to let His creation languish in sin or in shame or in the poverty of poor decisions. According to 1 John 4:14, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You see, in Christ we recover our majesty. Through the grace, love, and mercy of Jesus, we become the people that God wants us to become. Because Christ lives in us, we begin the transformation from brokenness to new creation. And so even this day, though you are far and I am far from perfect, something of God's majesty may well be displayed in our lives and through our living. Let's pray together. Father, we ask today that we may reflect more and more of your majesty and less of our brokenness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you again for being a part of this conversation that matters. I'm John Roebuck, your host. Thanks for listening.